brethren, the former day. The call to remembrance, the former day. And that, as I have said, was in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, and the first clause in verse 32. And just to gather up a few fragments. Yesterday afternoon in my little room, and being very burdened about the services today, I believe the Lord drew near and really burdened my soul concerning this house of God. So this afternoon we felt we must go back to the opening services in 1858 and just relate a little of what has transpired. First, Mr. Joseph Hatton was the first pastor, and then Mr. Edwin Picknell, and then Mr. Brockies, and then Mr. Reuben Mercer, whose remembrance is on the wall there, and then, of course, his the Lord's servant dear Philip, his son. And we really have to speak about the Lord's goodness and mercy to this house of God that has stood as a witness in this town for 145 years. And that is how we had to come this afternoon. But the main point really was this: we went on to try to convey the truths that have been preached here all through those years. Five pastors in a period of 145 years. That in itself speaks of the Lord's goodness and mercy to this house. And the truth that were preached was indeed Christ crucified. The desire of the Apostle Paul has been the same desire of each of the pastors, that they might know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then we went on to speak of Christ as the foundation, the cornerstone. And then when the Lord really calls for sinners by His grace, and Christ is really preached to them, then it is true that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And of course we went on a little further in this, speaking of what it would mean, what it does mean. And I just turn back in these few thoughts to the closing remark this afternoon. And that closing remark was this: to these precious souls, and there's been many that have worshipped here, oh, that there could yet be many more, the days in which we are living are exceedingly solemn. There is a withholding of the Spirit's power in the ministry and in the performance for the application of divine truth to the souls of hearers. And this was the closing remarks this afternoon. Oh, are we here? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. These precious souls that really have Christ preached to their hearts, their hope of glory, this is where they are. This is where the Lord brings them by His grace. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And the life of a child of God is one long process of refining from beginning to end, this dying process. And their companions with the Apostle Paul when he could say, and he said it from his heart, I die daily. So, dear friends, do you find it so in your life? Oh, this dying process. But the Lord has said, if we are given that grace and we are brought into it, then, and I just perhaps go back to the Word of God that I know I mentioned in closing, which the Lord was pleased to speak right into my heart in Stone Chapel through dear Mr. Tyler. Oh, if ever the Word of God was preached to me regarding the solemn work of the ministry, it was that Wednesday evening, and I had to go to the, I must get there. Have any of you known that in your life? That you feel you must get to a service? And I went straight from work in my work clothes because I must get there. And here Mr. Tyler announced this text. I look upon it as mine. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, the same bringeth, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, I remember going home from that service, and I believe the Lord revealed, it was as though the Holy Ghost, through the dear servant of God, looked right into my very soul. Oh, it was an occasion. It was indeed. And I believe it revealed to me something of what my path would be. A continual dying process. And all to this end, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now that is the consummation of the life of every child of God. But now, I must come back to the Word of God that I had thought for some while I must venture to preach from on this occasion. But the Lord would not have me read it this afternoon. Now, as they may be helped, and I so need it, I venture in directing your thoughts to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and reading verse 5. I believe the Lord has given me this word, his word, for the dear pastor here. I know that the Lord spoke these very words to him right going back to the beginning of his pastorate. But I believe the Lord has given me, if for no one else here today, I believe I've been given this fifth verse for the dear pastor here. And I hope it may be for others. Oh, that it could be so. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Well, dear friends, if the Holy Ghost should seal these words in every one that's here, and mine too, I need it more than ever. But you know, if the Lord does this, he'll fulfill it according to his own will right through to the end of your life. So to any of you, whether you are in the ministry, whether you are in the diaconate, whether you're a church member, or I was going to use the wording that's used about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. We're told that they were secret disciples. And there are a good many secret disciples even still in our congregation. Oh, what is needed is that the Lord may bring them forth to the glory of his name. That's what we need. What need there is for men to be raised up in the ministry? It seems as though, to me, that it seems as though prayer seems to have dried up regarding our great need in our churches for God to raise up men to go forth in his name. Many of God's servants, and I'm among them, I have now passed the allotted span of life, and I'm it's as solemn as that. But oh, that we may prove, that you may prove, that you're in your right place today. That the Lord has brought you here, whether this afternoon or this evening, to hear such words as these. Listen, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Oh, if you go home with this and the promise, or the promises that follow, you won't have come here today in vain. You will not. And the Lord knows where you are, every one of you, his servants that were here this afternoon and those that are here this evening. But think of it, especially when the Lord set some poor trembling man over a flock. When God appoints them to be an under shepherd, and when Moses' prayer for Joshua was answered, and it was answered here, wasn't it? What did Moses say? Let the God of the spirits of all flesh set a man over the congregation that may go in before them and out before them, that he may bring them out. He's just gone and complete and bring them in. He may go out before them and in before them, and to lead them out and to bring them in. You see, that is the solemn office of the pastor. Oh, it is a solemn office. My thoughts go to the year 1969, when I had served 6 months on probation at Eastbourne, and I had been invited to be their pastor. And I went to see dear Mr. Herbert Dawson, who was dying. I preached at Swavesey, came back, and on the Monday I went into the hospital in Tenterden. And there the dear man, who was God's servant, he was used of God to quicken my soul into life. Oh, he was, indeed he was. And what was I quickened by? God's word, nothing else. It was God's word. And in my case it was this: can two walk together except they be agreed? And that Lord's Day evening, for the first time in my life, I was 20 years old, had never ever prayed before. Friends, I'd spent 20 years without praying. Or I'd been to chapel, I'd been to Sunday school. That was the first time in my life that I'd ever prayed. And you might say, well, what was your first prayer? I'll tell you, it was, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Because in that sermon, I was shown that I was a sinner. And I went home, knowing for the first time. I was 20 years old, but I began to know, and I know more about it now, after 50 years of an open profession. Oh, but friends, you see, it was God's word. Those of you here tonight who can look back to when the Lord began with you, and his word that found you in all the ways that were needed. So then, thinking of dear Philip here, there shall not any man be able to stand before all the days of thy life. And that, you see, if that's spoken to any of you, you see, in the midst of all you have to endure, and you will have much to endure, oh, God's servants, and especially pastors, what they must walk in, and the things they must endure, and all of it to fulfill God's word in their ministry. But how true then, to any of you here tonight as pastors, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Right to your last breath, your last sermon. Oh, those of us that must acknowledge, with the Apostle Paul, having therefore obtained help of God, we have continued unto this day. Otherwise we would have sunk years ago. Oh, we would have sunk beneath the pressure and the weight and the fears and the temptations and the sorrows. But the Lord, as it has been here, upheld by thy almighty hand, we pass, O Lord, from year to year, and still we meet at thy command to seek thy gracious presence here or wherever the Lord has placed you. As I told you, I had thought I was to come with this afternoon, but I was prevented. But whatever the Lord may help me to say, I'm aware it is a vast subject, but I hope that I'll be given every word to speak to you dear people that come to this service. But there should not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then we shall be able to say, and we have said it, I have need to say it today, so that we shall then say from our hearts, I will not fear what man can do unto me, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Oh, I must acknowledge that as I stand here once more this very evening, where the subject is great, that may I be shown how I am. 'Tis thine to teach him how to speak. 'Tis thine to give the hearing ear. 'Tis thine the stubborn heart to break and make the careless sinner fear. How then would the Lord have me to venture to speak to you from this subject? Then the main part of the verse is, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And that is why I read the chapter that I did. This is where my little meditation on God's word must begin. As I was with Moses, the sovereignty of God in the way that that boy was born. The sovereignty of God. Oh, I do like to look back to my own beginning, my own birth, your birth, and think of it, friends, if we are unable to really think about it, that whoever were our parents, the Lord brought them together because we were to be born. The Lord brought them together, and a great mercy when two poor sinners are made aware that the Lord has brought them together. I certainly know through so much mercy that the Lord brought me and my dear wife together. It wasn't my will, but it was the Lord's will. And how often in the life of a child of God, he does not allow them to have their own way. Could you testify to that? Whether even in your, regarding your marriage, and your children, and your life, and everything to do with you. Well, that's the first thought there, as I was with Moses. And think of it, we know that the Pharaoh of the day, he had commanded. What did he command? This is what he commanded. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And they made their life bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve with rigor. That's really, you know, what the devil does to poor sinners in their life. And unless we are left, or unless the Lord meets with us, we shall be left in his kingdom to perish eternally. What a mercy then, if we can look back and thank God for our parenting. And if we've reason to thank God for them, because they were dear, gracious people, and we were the subjects of their prayers. As I was was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now, have you noticed what we have read together this evening? The Lord had a sovereign purpose regarding this boy that was born. What did we read? And she saw him, that he was a goodly child. What did she say? I believe she could see that this child was a child of God. Sometimes parents are favored with this. And a wonderful favor if they are. If they really feel that any child that God has given to you is a child of God. And it may well be sorely tried. But if the Lord, if they are, then they are never beyond the limits of God's love. It doesn't matter where they may wander or where they may go. They are under the control of God and fenced with Jehovah's shells and wheels, firm as the everlasting hills. And friends, it's true of them that the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but called by grace. To change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Oh, how good when it is so. We read, do we not, in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, of Moses' mother, she saw that he was a proper child, a child of grace. So you see, the king of Egypt, he spake, to the Hebrew midwives and said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Now Moses, you see, his life was hid with Christ in God. And so the king of Egypt couldn't touch him. And neither can the devil or anyone else touch the life of a child of God. The Lord may permit the devil to come, as he did in Job's life. But you know what the Lord said to the devil, that spare his life. Why? Because his life was hid with Christ in God. So what does she do with this boy? Well, we're told. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, adorned it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now see the sovereignty of God. His dear mother, and to me, there's a sense in which she speaks of the Church of Christ. She speaks of the Church of Christ, who is in the Lord's hand, the mother. You might say, well, prove that to me from God's word. Well, I can, because we have that account in Solomon's Song of the Bride of Christ. What do we read about her? Oh, she wanted to find him. Saw ye him, and my soul loveth. That was the burden of her soul, and it's the burden of every living soul. That is their burden when they're born again. It's Christ that they need. It's Christ they begin to seek and to know and to love. And then, of course, what happened? I said, of course, about Moses' mother. Let me just come back to prove what I've said. In Solomon's Song, what do we read about the bride there? We read this. She wanted to find him. When she did, I held him and would not, could not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. Now there is the Church of Christ, and the burden of dear Moses' mother. She was a mother in Israel. She was his mother, it is true, but she was a mother in Israel. And then we read this, didn't we? And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now again, you see, that speaks to me of the Church of Christ. Now, I believe I'm right to say this, that when the Lord would send any poor man out into the ministry, I think you will find that again and again, behind that poor man, there are dear godly women. Now, I prove that in my own case. Of course, there are dear godly men. I shall always, I am compelled to look upon dear Mr. John Tyler as my spiritual father in the ministry. But the way that these, and this was his sister, what did she do? And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Ah, those of you here, I think of your own dear pastor. Could any of you dear godly women, as the Lord has made you, could you say that the Lord laid him in your heart to travel for? Could you say that? And did the Lord reveal to you that he was going to be a servant of God? Did the Lord reveal to you eventually that he was going to be your pastor? Well, these are the things that the Lord did and what he does for his dear people still. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Just as a little aside, really, but you know, I was favoured to have dear godly women and dear godly men. But I was favoured to have dear godly women. And the Lord laid me in their hearts to pray for, and they lived to see me brought forth to the glory of their God. But then there were those the Lord laid me in their heart, in one particular case, laid me in their heart again. And that dear godly woman, she travelled for my soul, and believing that one day I would preach. And the Lord gave her those words on one occasion, like the woman of Shunem, that according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. But there are a few thoughts regarding Moses and the way he came into the world. And think of it. Think of this. His sister was watching. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call? Notice the wording, call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women. She didn't tell Pharaoh's daughter, did she, that it was his mother. Shall I call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Now again, you see, that is what the Church of God does. And when the Lord lays this traveller, whether it is to do with poor sinners being born again, brought even into the Church of Christ, or into the ministry, there is this travail for them. There's this travail for them. I remember so well going to a prayer meeting in Robertsbridge Chapel, when the chapel was in a bad way, and they held monthly prayer meetings, with the hope that it could be refurbished and renewed. Dear Mr. Tyler was the chairman of those prayers. But one Friday evening at one of the prayer meetings, dear Mr. Wood came from the meetings in Gowstreet, London. He said, I've come all the way from London to speak tonight about the ministry. And I shall never forget it. It was in Luke chapter 5, about dear Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And you know what Peter said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Well, you see, that evening the Lord spoke with power into my poor soul about the ministry. And I shall never forget the last verse of that account. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And I felt, yes, Lord, the day will come. The that pruning. Now, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know, that evening there was dear Mr. and Mrs. Messing there. And as she came out of that prayer meeting, she came to me and she said, Seth, that was for you tonight. A godly mother in Israel. She was carrying that. That was for you tonight. She was a very strong-minded lady. And her husband, dear man of God that he was, he said, Seth, that was for someone tonight. Well, it was for me, as I was with Moses. And God's servants that are here this evening, you can look back, can you not, to those times and places when the Lord began to burden you with the ministry, kept that burden alive, and then as time went on, you found there were those that were carrying you. As I'm sure the dear pastor, the dear father of the present pastor, was carrying his son to continue here. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now to go on a little then with this, it can only be a little. We read, did we not, of what happened? Now, you know, dear friends, when the Lord will prepare some poor man or some poor woman, for that matter, when the Lord will prepare them for a work that he's given them to do in their life, he'll prepare them for it. And dear Moses, you know, he thought, and how quickly, he tried to do something. He tried to do something. And I think it was one of the most real lessons that he ever had to learn. Have you had to learn lessons like that? Why, he had to prove that he was totally helpless. He thought he was going to try and do something for his brethren. He could do nothing. What was needed? Well, I'll tell you, he had 40 years in the court of Pharaoh. He needed that. And God's servants, he has his own way of preparing them for the work he will have them to do. And their whole life is in the Lord's hand to that end, to prepare them for the work he would have them to do. And the Lord knew that Moses was so unprepared. He was then 40 years old. What was needed before he could become a leader over the Lord's people? Well, you all know what I'm going to say. He must spend 40 years in the backside of the desert. And the Lord knows how to prepare all his servants for the work that he has called them to. And he does prepare. Whatever it is in their life, he sanctifies their life. Even their daily life, he sanctifies their work. And if he grants them children, he sanctifies it through having children. And all the things that they must walk in, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Ah, what lessons the dear man had to learn those 40 years in the backside of the desert. Do you remember that when the Lord's time came, where do we find him? So completely different to how it was when he was 40 years old. Where do we find him? This is where we find him. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, a man of words. Notice the difference. Friends, that is just what the Lord does with his servants. But he prepares for the solemn work of the ministry. He brings them down. And he brings them down. And he empties them from vessel to vessel. Until he'll bring them to this same point as dear Moses. O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am sly asleep and have a slow tongue. And I can tell you this, dear friend, that is just where the Lord brings poor men that once go out into the ministry. He makes them to feel totally helpless, completely unable to preach at all. And they know it. And yet he burdens them with it. And that burden grows, and it grows, and it grows, until the Lord's time comes, and then he'll say to them, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. But notice again his response, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. What he really was saying was this: Lord, send by anyone, but not me. Not me, Lord. I think this could be said regarding those that the Lord brings into the diaconate and those who he brings into his church to the same teaching, really, in different ways. But all of it to fulfill God's word. So any of you here tonight who humbly hope the Lord has been preparing you for his will. Oh, can you look back? Because I can look back. See how the Lord did it. And all of it bound up with my daily life, my daily calling, my daily occupation. And oh, with me, it was that the Lord would give us six children. If one of my many schools of teaching with having children and all that that means. But as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, as enabled, we could trace this right through Moses' life. But may I be shown what the Lord would now have me to say for a little longer this evening. You know how the Lord commanded him to go down back into Egypt to bring up his people. What did the Lord say to him? Certainly, I will be with thee. Certainly, I will be with thee. And that very place, he told him that he would bring him forth to that very spot where he would make it known that he was God's servant. Oh, but all that he had to endure all through that time when God sent those awful plagues upon the Egyptians, until the time came when they must be brought out. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You think of the times that Moses came out from Pharaoh's presence. Oh, how discouraged he was often. And yet when the Lord's time came, the Lord brought them forth with an outstretched arm, didn't he? Oh, he brought them out that he might bring them in. And then, of course, we could go on a little. Oh, that night, that awful night, when the destroying angel went throughout the length and breadth of the land of Egypt. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. How did the Lord prove it to Moses, especially on that solemn night? But he proved it, didn't he? He proved it. The land was to be slain. It was to be eaten with bitter herbs. They were to eat it with their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hand. It was the Lord's Passover. But what was the secret of their coming out of Egyptian bondage absolutely free? Friends, it was this: and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, his dear people. with Moses, so I'll be with thee. Now the blood was to be sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels of their houses. It was never to be sprinkled on the doorstep. Dear Mr. Dell said that once. Oh, the precious blood. It was never to be trampled on. But it was there, you see. And in every house where the blood had been sprinkled, there was safety. And safety is where he is found. And the only place of safety is in the wounded side of Jesus. Oh, his wounded side. I've often felt there's a prayer in him, 27, that has been my prayer for years, and I'll just tell you this in passing, in hymn 29 rather, but it was this. Oh, this has been my prayer, and I feel to know so little, but I want to know more. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And it was this, conduct, blessed guide, the Holy Ghost. Conduct, blessed guide, thy sinner train to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and with us there above. Oh, is that your prayer? Has it been your prayer for years? You may feel to know so little, but you want to know him, whom to know his life eternal. But it's this, let us our love redeemer meet. Weep o'er his pierced hands and feet, and view his wounded side. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. But then I want just to take you to this. Coming out of the Egyptian bondage, and the Lord wouldn't lead them away that they would have found easy, because the Lord well knew that it wouldn't be good for them. But he leaves his people in a plain path because of their enemies, and all of it to bring them to Christ alone. But they come, and you've heard this many times, but where did they come to? They came to the Red Sea. Now often it's like that in the life of the child of God. The Lord brings them out of one trial, and then how quickly they come to another. They come to the Red Sea. What were they to do? Their enemies behind them, and the mountains on either side of them, and the sea in front of them. I understand that the sea, the Red Sea, at that point would have been about 8 miles across. And there they stood, as I was with Moses. And what do we read about this? As I will soon come to a close. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Do you know something about this? You may have in your feelings some great mountain in front of you tonight. There are things, and you've been shown that you can do nothing about it. And yet have you been shown that is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, what happened? Oh, how quickly. This is another thing that poor dear pastors have to endure. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou done thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Oh, how often a poor dear pastor will be confronted with one trial after another, and things where they know only too well the Lord can do nothing. The Lord can do nothing. They can do nothing, rather. Oh, they can do nothing. But you see, what did the Lord do? And Moses said unto the people, he was given some grace, wasn't he? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more hold your peace? Are any of you in a place tonight? Well, here's an encouragement to you. Now, what did the Lord do? It was this sea in front of them, their enemies behind them. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Well, Fred, you say tonight, how can I? There's always in front of me. Ah, but what happens? The Lord, he divided that sea. How did he divide it? He divided it. Have you ever realized this? How did the Lord divide the Red Sea? He divided it with a strong east wind. And all of us here tonight know that an east wind like this was. And sometimes the Lord uses bitter things to divide the way for his people. And oh, you see, they went through that river. I was going to go on a little, but I feel I must say amen. One last thought, perhaps, much could be said. But how they praised God, didn't they? You read chapter 15. How they praised God for what he'd done. And almost immediately, they go 3 days without water. And that's just what happens to Paul.